faith and knowledge, how do we apply it in our daily life? We are always honored to serve our Heavenly Father, and you might, when you saw the title, maybe the brethren thought that maybe will be something with a lot of points and direction, as we have so many wonderful lessons in the Bible and so many studies that will point towards that. And I think if we will be to go in details, we will have to stay till after midnight like Apostle Paul, and some of us will fall asleep trying to apprehend that. Therefore, I decided to have these thoughts after talking especially not only with my daughters but with young people from here, from Europe, and they were asking me, how do we apply faith and knowledge? What does it mean to that? So for some of you, it might be the following presentation, a service, will be very simple, might be too detailed, but I decided that I could share, especially since it's the beginning of the year, almost like a testimony, how am I looking to improve my walk with the Heavenly Father, with the Lord. And hopefully, I hope that everyone will be at least inspired to read more the Word of God. That's the purpose of this presentation. In regards to what we are called for, we are called to be sons of God and to be every day and every year more in His likeness, in the likeness of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus. I think this element that might be very simple or too basic, it's so neglected, not only in Christianity, but is neglected to the way that becomes a deception, and we will see looking at some scriptures. It becomes a deception, and such a sudden deception that we forget that we are to be as Jesus, to be like Jesus in our ways. And Apostle Paul, you remember the scripture that he states that he wants to know among the brethren only Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That really points to the aspect of sacrificial service, but with joy and in love. And I think that it's so wonderful to realize both the privileges that we have to become sons of God, to be sons of God, but also the privilege to praise God through our service. So without further ado, and I'm glad the big screen is here because I see something else on my screen. Another blessing is I have another service or talk in February. So if we go slow, I have 33 slides. I don't think we'll make it because I don't want to rush. I think it's very important, and I want to let my heart and my testimony speak to you, brethren, so we can look into this. And if we don't finish today, we'll finish it next month. So we'll start with very familiar scripture, but look at the advice that Apostle Peter is giving us here. 2 Peter 1, 3, and I'm going to read all the way through 7. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. we look at these aspects that it's a necessary condition in this state that the goal to be like Jesus Christ cannot happen, the beginning of the way cannot happen unless we run or we escape the corruption that it's in the world through lust. That's an absolutely necessary condition. It's a basic condition. But then we have to add, and I think here we see that we have to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. It's not knowledge that brings faith. It's quite interesting. Faith applied brings virtue. Once you apply the faith and becomes a virtue, or living with God in righteousness, then you progress into more knowledge. It's quite an interesting step. We will not dwell on this as much as we will go to see a few aspects. In Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." So this is the faith. The faith is the belief that what God says is true, and it acts upon what His word reveals. And this will be an introspection, as I mentioned, into what I see, that how more we believe what God says as being true, more we transform our lives, and more we can grow in knowledge as well. The Gospel of John uses belief and faith at least 98 times. It's the most in the whole Bible, this aspect of faith or belief used. And is related to the obedience of faith. It means to consider something to be true and therefore worthy of one's trust, to accept as true, genuine, or real, to have a firm conviction as to goodness, to the goodness, efficacy or ability of something or someone, to consider to be true, to accept the word or evidence of. That's what is to believe. This frequent use highlights the importance of belief in the Christian faith as presented in John's writings. The word know or knowledge, from where it comes, knowledge, has two different expressions in Greek and is used to express different types of knowledge, emphasizing both relational and factual understanding of Jesus and His teachings. Appears 131 times in the Gospel of John. Knowledge is the is more used than the word love or light. It's quite interesting. And there are two types of knowledge. 57 times appears as the word, and my Greek is not good, ginosko or ginosko, depends, properly to know, especially through personal experience, first-hand acquaintance. Here is one use of this word, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Know thee, or you, know God, not knowing about you, or knowing what you did. The spiritual man knows God, doesn't know about God. Oh, I can tell you what God did with Israel. I can tell you what God did in the Old Testament. It's an important part to know what God did. It's extremely important. But through knowing what God did, and through knowing about God and about His character, learns us to know Him. So the knowledge applied leads us to know Him. Because I truly believe that the Bible was given to us. I think the Bible and the Word of God was given to us to bring us in the presence of the Heavenly Father. You remember the scripture, it says, "Wherever are two or three gather in my name, I'm there." How many times we really don't perceive that wonderful promise. It's wonderful when we have a big convention, like we have for the new year. And it's a natural human tendency to have as many as possible, and some are very proud in their big congress that they have how many thousands and upon thousands upon thousands. It does not mean that if there are two or three gathered in our Lord's name, he's not there. And I will ask you something. When, because all of us, I think, went to, let's say, a big celebration, and you are there, and maybe you have a minute or 30 seconds to talk if it's a wedding to the bride or the bridegroom, right? Because there are so many, there are hundreds or thousands. But when you are two or three, you have so much time to share with someone. So I think we see the spiritual things are more valuable where it's the smaller the group is, more communion with those people you can have. So that's why the study one-on-one with our Lord in our room, like he says, go into your room and pray and the Heavenly Father will listen to you, it's so much more valuable and important. And every child of God that applies faith and knowledge sees this opportunity. And if we don't see it, the Lord will bring experiences in such a way that we will have to fall and trust on him alone. And we see that even our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was forsaken by all of them. Remember that he was even taking someone aside to ask them to watch with him, and they fell asleep as well. So that reliance solely upon God, I think that's a key element in every child of God's development. And sometimes it might be painful, sometimes, but even if there is pain, it's pain for the flesh, but it's always a blessing for the heart. And we learn to know God. 80 times it's a different word, eido, to be aware, to behold, to consider, to perceive. An expression is, I see what you mean, or I see what you are saying. In our ways, if you're looking at a math problem and you see, oh, I see the solution. You don't see necessarily with your eyes. You see the solution, you perceive it. I like the definition that eido is a gateway to grasp spiritual truth, reality, from a physical plane. It's more like a comprehension. Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This word, conformed to the image of his Son, is what I base this presentation on. Our transformation. Conform comes from sumorphos. I think it's a beautiful word. It's the sum of morphos. Morphos being nature or shape or formation, transformation, metamorphosis. You know, the transformation. So I think this is the resemblance or with or together. Sumorphos, jointly form, similar, conform to or fashion like unto. By sharing the same inner essence identity, showing similar behavior from having the same essential nature. So therefore, that's why the Lord says to Nicodemus that you have to be born of spirit and water. In order to start this conformity to the image of his Son, we have to be born from water and spirit. Otherwise, it cannot begin this transformation. So this is the calling that we've been called with. So I said, how can I look at the year that begins in regards to this transformation? And I said, I will do something. I was encouraged by one old brother that I'm still in touch from Romania, and we're looking at different aspects, and he says, would be good if you take one of the Gospels and look through the Gospel and apply what the Lord has promised to you, see how much you apply that in the past year, and if you can improve, and improve it and apply it better in the year to come. So, And that was based on Hebrews 4:12. You know the scripture. We will not read it. We have it here on the screen. The fact that the word of God is living and active or powerful. So in this transformation, we cannot read the word of God, and it cannot mean for us today what it meant tomorrow in regards to our transformation. It's just like school. If we go to school and for 1 year we do multiplication, it's good. But if 10 years later we are still at the multiplication, it's not good. I think we have to see a progression, especially in applying what we have learned. And of course, there are doctrinal points that are established, and there are our pillars. We don't talk about doctrinal points. We are talking, just like we saw today, sometimes some parables or chronological points, we can look at it and see the application of them as it transforms in our understanding as the years have passed. But especially in our likeness with Christ, we trust and we all hope that every day we are more like Jesus. If we bring more fruit to the Lord. So, without going in more details, let's try. So what I did, I took one or two scriptures from every chapter in the Gospel of John, and I said, okay, let me see how did I do, how do I apply this in my daily walk in the past year, and how I'm going to strive to apply it better in the next year, just as an encouragement for myself, and realizing that all this application, they can be done only through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and through His Spirit. So, in John 1, 12, 13. And again, we know these scriptures very well. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a man, but of God. So I was thinking about myself. Have I used this right, the right that I am a child of God, in the previous year? Do I really understand that I am not born of my own will? I think that's such an important element to be assured. Apostle Paul speaks about the assurance that we serve God, our spirit testifies with the Spirit of God, that we are children of God. I think that more we value this aspect, that we have the right to become children of God, more we will strive to serve Him, to understand that we are not born of blood or flesh. It really throws us in a different dimension, showing that we have absolutely nothing. And this will be an reoccurring theme through the scriptures that I brought, that we have absolutely no business with this world. This world is to be used for the development of the new creation. For the true child of God that wants to follow in the footsteps of our Lord, at the moment that Jesus was born of the water and spirit at the river of Jordan, when we meditate, he was perfect, he had absolutely nothing to do with this world. From chapter 2, from chapter 2, verse 5. And this is a very interesting scripture, remember, at the wedding in Cana. His mother said to the servants, whatever he tells you, do it. Now, they had that problem. It was a big problem at the wedding. Not only back then, but maybe now too. If you run out of wine, it's not a good sign of the host. Not to say that it might be if they are a little bit, thinking, it's just not a good sign. And if you're superstitious, it might mean a lot of other things that starting on a wrong foot. But what does it mean that for me? Whatever he tells you, do it. First, it tells me that I have to listen. then I have to know who to listen to. Then I listen so eager because, you know, I'm the one in charge with the wine. I don't want to be ashamed. And then the very moment that he whispers, I have to do it. Whatever he tells me. So to some will tell, so to do some things, but to others to tell other things. But all in all, it's under the same umbrella to become more like Jesus. When a brother in Africa, and Brother Richard can correct me if I'm wrong, I understand that one brother walked 7 days to get to a convention, if I'm correct. 7 days to go and walk through Africa. I don't think mostly with air-conditioned car. 7 days. I never walk 7 days to any meeting or convention. I can tell you that. I know my grandfathers, they used to walk overnight to the meetings from Saturday night and go over the hills to go Sunday and then come back. And I always saw that's such a sacrifice. But the Lord speaks to them in that way. But it tells to us to do other things. It doesn't mean that we cannot do the will of God. Whatever he tells us, are we ready to do it? I think that's such an element. So I'm looking at the previous year and I saw, well, the Lord told me here to do this and this. And I said, well, I'll do it tomorrow or I'll do it next week. Can I strive to do this year as soon as I hear what the Lord tells me to make sure that I'll do it right away? I think that's an important element of walking in faith and knowledge with the Lord. Chapter 3. Jesus responded and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We talk about being born again. Apostle Paul speaks in Galatians 4:19 about Christ being formed in us. He says that, again, I have to suffer the pains until I see that Christ is formed in you. But seeing the kingdom means that we really look at Christ. We cannot become Christ-like unless daily we look at our Lord Jesus Christ and we want to be like him. We cannot be there unless we really desire this and we are born of the water and spirit. In chapter 4, Jesus replied to her, and this is Martha. No, this is the woman at the well. Martha will be later. The woman at the well. Jesus replied to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Do we really know who Jesus is? Do you know the easiest way to really realize at my personal level to know if Jesus is the one that he can give me water is that I don't thirst for any other water. I'm not looking anywhere else for any solutions in my life, especially in the Christian life, but to Jesus. What does Jesus say about this? What did Jesus do? Not what he would do. What did Jesus do in this situation? Can I find the principle of this? And then can I ask him for this water? The solution to the fact that maybe I'm tired. The solution that maybe I'm discouraged. The solution to the fact that maybe I don't have as many friends as I want is not to go to join other social clubs, to look at different elements, to change maybe even countries. But I think the solution is, for the Christian, is to really go at Jesus and ask him to give us the living water. And he will lead us. He might lead us in different social circles. He might lead us in different countries. But the difference is, how can I put it the best way? The best way is, today in the Christianity and among the Christians, they are saying, make sure that you get Jesus in your day. You heard that expression? Or get Jesus in your life. Maybe you heard, maybe you didn't hear. people, a lot of people are saying, make sure you got Jesus in your life. And some wear a t-shirt with Jesus, some put it on the cell phone, they put anything, some put a cross on their neck. Oh, I got Jesus in my life. The true Christian, the true consecrated Christian, lives their life with Jesus Christ at the center. They don't get Jesus in their life. I don't put a coat on me. He is the coat. I don't have many coats. I don't get Jesus in my life. My life revolves around Jesus. It's a big, big, big difference. If my life revolves around serving the brethren, it's very different. Oh, I'm going to do a service on Sunday for the brethren. Because then if the life revolves around that, anything is a service to the brethren. It can be a prayer, it can be a study, it can be a printing press, it can be sending a letter, it can be a phone call. It's very different than just... So I think this is a big difference. This is what Jesus tells her. She doesn't understand that. So how much more I can strive to do this in the year to come? John 5:24-25, chapter 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who hears my word and believes him who sent me, has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, a time is coming and even now has arrived when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Are we glad and we value this life, this eternal life? If we believe in him, we will value the eternal life and will show this, the fact that we value, will really show through the fact that we become from dead people, or we came from death into life. What does it mean, life? Life means energy, action, activity. The life for Christ. It's something for anyone to look at us, brethren or friends alike, and say, that's someone that lives his life for Christ. John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will not be hungry, and the one who believes in me will never be thirsty. This goes hand in hand with what we just talked previously. Are we hungry or thirsty for other meat? Like, remember the Israelites. Oh, this manna, it's good, was good in the beginning, they liked it. But then, well, we need some meat. We need a different diet. We really need a different diet. Do we understand that if we truly come to Jesus every day, we will not be hungry or thirsty for anything else? So can we go to the fountain again and again and again, to the same fountain and to our Lord? I thought that that's one of the elements that can help me in the year to come. John 7:38, the Lord takes it even further, saying, the one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. We'll stay maybe a little bit longer here. What does it mean this to us? What does it mean to me? The one who believes in me, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So the condition is clearly to remain in the mind of Christ. Right? Have this thought that Jesus had. That's the condition. In order for us to have what? To have rivers, to flow rivers of life, rivers of water. What does it mean, a river? Have you ever thought about a river, characteristics of a river? There are all at least three characteristics in a river. A river has a direction, right? A river flows. It has a clear direction. Our direction should be to follow Jesus, to follow in his footsteps. It's a clear direction. A river has, what's the word in English? Two shores, right? It has a shore and another shore. It has a limit. It has restrictions. that flows only through there. It doesn't flow left or right. It's not changing. That's a Christian. A Christian has direction, and the Christian has limits to the left and to the right. It has a sole purpose, to flow into the sea. A river doesn't have any other purposes. And that gives to a river power. The innermost being will flow rivers of living water. That's what gives a river power. A river has power. And more water, more power. And that's the power to push everything down the direction is necessary. So I think this is a very good illustration of the one who believes in our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but that water will go and refresh others. And with that water will bring life. So I think this is a wonderful encouragement that the Lord is giving us, that the one who believes in Him, truly believes in Him, drinks from that water, drinks from our Lord, but his innermost being will flow rivers of water. Because Jesus becomes the water or the heart or the life of his heart. And he cannot stop speaking about our Lord. John 8:34-36. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Now the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son sets you free, you really will be free." I think here what Jesus says is literally true. Whenever someone commits sin, becomes a slave of sin. Now he comes and he says that if the Son sets us free, we become free and we become children of God. A child of God, a children of God does not sin, does not live. That word means to live in sin. Slave of sin means you are bound by that sin. You cannot be bound by that sin. You cannot be a slave and a son. You are either a slave or a son. And how much more we have to really strive to value the fact that we are called to remain into the house of the Lord forever and not be slaves of sin. In John 9, the scripture that I took, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if someone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. That's with the blind man that he's answering when he's asked who was the one that healed him from his blindness. And he has this statement that we have it there. It goes really, really hand in hand with the previous scripture. Sometimes I notice that maybe my prayers are hindered because of the sin that I have committed. Can I strive to work towards my sanctification so much more that through His grace I can be listened by God? I think every one of us would really love to know that God is listening to us. And we have the example in our Lord Jesus Christ that He says in His prayer, "Father, I know You'll always listen to me." What an assurance. What an assurance to know that the Heavenly Father always... So it's not that God does not want to listen to us. It's our sin or our, mistakes are putting a barrier. And even then, we have this merciful High Priest that we can go, and in His name and through His blood, we can cleanse ourselves and say, we are sorry, we are striving to correct what we have done. And I was thinking how much more I should value that, the fact that God wants to listen to me. But at the same time, I have to really desire with all my heart to do his will. John 10:5. However, a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This is quite interesting. This is with the Good Shepherd, with our Lord being the Good Shepherd. What's the condition of knowing the voice, of not knowing the voice of strangers? It's very simple. You really, really know the voice of the shepherd. It's very interesting. And when I was a kid, I went with my grandfather. We used to go in the summer, used to go every 3 weeks. The whole village had the sheep together, and every 3 weeks will be your turn to go and get the milk and the cheese from the shepherd. And he would tell us, you try to lead these sheep away, and you'll call the sheep, they will not go. He will call them, and they will go right away, and they will be ready to be milked. It's so interesting. It's amazing. I think it's getting lost with the modern technology now. But a shepherd will call the sheep, and they will follow them. They can distinguish this, the pitch of the voice and everything that it is. And the good shepherd, it said, they even name every sheep. They used to name every sheep by name. And he calls his sheep. So, in the past year, I thought, how many other voices I have heard or listened to? Maybe on the internet, maybe on the news. Maybe at work. We have to flee. See, the scripture says that from strangers, you have to flee. It's not needed just not to listen. You have to flee from there. I cannot say, pray and lead us not into temptation. And then I open the TV and I'm staying there for 3 hours. Oh, Lord, lead me not into temptation. I don't think there's any television, any news that you can watch for 3 hours or 2 hours or maybe even 1 hour without falling into temptation. I don't think so. Even the temptation to judge what somebody said or didn't say or what policy they apply or they don't apply. It's very, very, very interesting how we can put the mind of Christ, know what's going on in the world, follow what's happening in the world, but at the same time to not really to listen to the voice of strangers and run away from those voices. John 11:40. Jesus said to her, this is Martha, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Walking and applying faith. Martha believes that the Lord will be resurrected in the day to come. He does not believe that he, the Lord, can resurrect his brother, her brother, right there. And Jesus says that, no, you will see the glory of God. And we know that he's telling the apostles, even greater things you will see. So how much do we believe? How much did I believe last year? How many times, in how many experiences, I saw the glory of God, his deliverance, in my life, and I thought about it. Can I look in the year to come and make a point? I want to see the glory of God in my walk with God more than I saw last year. I think that will be application of what I believe, the application of what I know, and I will learn to know God more. And more. I'll give you an example because I think it's the father of all believers, Abraham. He had a perspective about God when he was taking Isaac towards the Mount Moriah to bring him as a sacrifice, right? He knew God. He was, we don't know, 100+, anywhere from 15 years that we think Isaac was when he was brought as a sacrifice all the way to 30. Depends. So he was at least 115 years old, Abraham. And when he goes and he walks for 3 days to the mount, he knows God. He really knows God. He knows of God, but he knows God. He has seen the glory of God because he got the son. He got the promised son. Now when he goes on the mountain, he brings him as a sacrifice until the moment that his belief in God and faith has the knife all the way on top of Isaac, he cannot see the next level of who God is. God reveals himself in a greater glory only when he obeys that, almost to the moment of being ready to sacrifice his son. And then all of a sudden he sees the ram. The ram was there. He just didn't see the ram. He did not see the glory of God, how merciful and how wonderful God is, until he applied the knowledge he had and the faith he had to the utmost pinnacle. How do you think he returned from the mountain? With the same view of God? The same perception of God? I think he returned from that mountain with such a more admiration and such a more respect and reverence towards God after that experience. Such, I think, is every walk, every one of us that walks with God. To the utmost, whenever we listen and we believe and we act upon that belief in service, from the smallest to the greatest, I think we see more and more the wonderful character of God, and how wonderful that we can see that. And we can see that also not only through personal experience. I believe we can see it through the doctrines that we understand and are revealed, and through the prophetical aspects of the scripture when we see it, the fulfillment. 12:36, while you have the light, believe in the light, so that you might become sons of light. Very self-explanatory, but in order to become the son of light, you have to believe in the light. You have to have that complete trust in that light. And that's the condition to become a son of light. And in order to be a son of light, that means sons of light. What does light do? So many things. And it can be a whole panel discussion on the light. But one of the aspects of the light is to clarify matters. If you walk in a dark room and you have a light, it's so much easier to navigate. That's one of, at least one of the aspects. And some people that cannot see the light, they can feel the light usually at that time. Now with the LED, it doesn't give that much warmth or heat, which is the love. Even the ones that do not see the light, they should feel the love. They will know you are Christians by your love. Some people that are blind and in darkness, they should feel at least the warmth of the light. John 13:18. So next chapter. I am not speaking about all of you. I know the ones whom I have chosen. But this is happening so that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Here the Lord speaks to his apostles that he knows the ones who he has chosen. What a comfort is this. The Lord knows me as I am. Because he has chosen us while we were sinners, he called us. So I think that's a comfort to know that with our Lord, we do not have to play good, so to speak. We have to give our heart the best way we can. And he knows us as we are. And he knows where we want to be. And he knows the desires of our hearts. And I think that's such a comfort. And we can ask him where we struggle to help. And we can praise him where he help us to overcome. I don't think we value this much, the fact that our Lord has chosen us. At least, I do not value every day this wonderful calling, that he had chosen us. And he had chosen us from this world and from the darkness of this world, from so many billions. John 14:1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. 2025 is past. How many times my heart was troubled or anxious? Well, that's the measure of how much I believe in God and in our Lord. If I believe that he's in control of everything, my heart will not be troubled. And the Lord is commanding us to this, and he's commanding them at a very different aspect and element when he is going to be arrested, when he is going to suffer, when all their plans are going to seemingly go to the ground or be vanished. And he's telling them, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. He has a plan that's way, way above anything that you can understand. Everything will come to fruition. Everything will turn to blessings. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me, you cannot do nothing. Apart from our Lord, we cannot do nothing. He allows us. He's so gracious to us. He allows us to try everything. And then we come and we say, Lord, I was wrong. Apart from you, I cannot really do nothing. John 16:27, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. Here it shows, we know that God loves us first. But here it's a love that he says, the Lord says that the Father loves you because we have loved Jesus and we believe that he came from the Father. How much more can I strive on this, to love him more and to believe in this and act upon this and also share with others? John 17:26, of course, from the prayer we have so many things that we could underline. I was looking and I have made your name known to them and will make it known so that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. I think this really shows that more we know God, the manifestation of us knowing God, it is through love, through increasing of the love. And the Lord, here it's a progression, the fact that the Lord promised to the apostles and to the apostle to us, that more and more we will know God, that will be portrayed or displayed through the fact that we have more love. In John 18, my kingdom, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. We know this. Let's not forget about this, that God's kingdom is not of this world. It means it doesn't have aspects. One time, long ago, over on my first trip to the United States, a brother asked me, do you think God's kingdom will be capitalistic or communistic, communist structure? And I answer with this scripture, not of this world, it means is not going to use, not of this cosmos, is not going to use anything that the world has created. So any democracy, theocracy, anything that we call it, is going to be so different. It's not going to be of this world. It's going to be the New Jerusalem that comes from above. And the structure of the government is going to be just wonderful. We know it's going to come from Jerusalem. And that's why I picked John 19:11. Jesus answers to him, Pilate, you would have no authority over me at all if it had not been given to you from above. We see this. We have to believe that any authority was given to the earthly rulers from God for a certain purpose. In this situation was quite a negative, in a way, situation. Pilate had to be the one in power to allow Jesus to be crucified and condemn him. But there is no power. Do we understand that the authority comes only from God? And what authority he gives us to be sons of God? John 20:21. So Jesus said to them again, peace be to you. Just as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Before being sent by our Heavenly Father, through our Lord, for any work in his vineyard, I think we have to reach a measure of peace. And that's through his blood, but also the peace that surpasses all understanding. Otherwise, the Lord will not send us forward, because we are supposed to bring the gospel of peace. And John 21:22, Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Quite interesting. This is what our Lord says to Peter. And the verse before, in John 21:21, Peter turns and he sees John and says, "What about him? What's going to happen to him?" And the Lord says, "What it is to him? What do you care?" And I was thinking, what does that mean to me? What does it really mean to me? Okay, it was an interesting event that happened. But what does it mean to me? I think it really means we should not look what blessings or opportunities anyone has. Oh, why is the Lord blessing this one or that one? Why they have such opportunity? The Lord says to him, "You follow me." You should not worry. You should be rejoicing. You should be happy. If he leaves, let him leave. So I think this shows the particularity. I think how peculiar the Lord is dealing with every one of us. And I think that's one of the greatest blessings, that he deals with us individually in such a way that we are transformed into his likeness. We cannot say, well, if you go to this convention, and if you study this, and if you do this, you will be exactly like Jesus. We have some helps, and absolutely they are necessary. There are things. We have to study the Word of God. But is it better to be in Phoenix or to be here today? Or to be in Africa? Or to be in our house on internet and listening to a convention? I think the Lord deals with all of us. I think we should desire to meet with each other. We should not forget the assembly of each other. But I don't think we should be concerned if we cannot make a meeting or if we cannot make a convention or a seminar or a camp. Oh, the world is ending if I don't go there. I don't think so. Can I use that every opportunity? Jesus says, "You follow me, we follow him." So therefore, I think everyone that walks with the Lord will be rejoicing, seeing the opportunities of others. And if others live longer or shorter, they will praise the Heavenly Father. So I will conclude with a couple things, and our time is almost up. Belief as part of Christian faith, pisteo or belief or faith, means to entrust oneself to God in complete confidence. To believe in with the implication of total commitment to the one who is trusted, which is God. This is what it really means. Cognitive assent is never separated from practical fidelity. In 1 John 2:3, "By this we can be sure that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." I think we are not wrong to say keeping his commandments by living them daily. Failure to obey exposes false claims. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not keep his commandments is a liar. Jesus echoes the same test. If you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I don't think any child of God that obey Jesus in any of his commandments was not blessed. Any of the little things, starting from children, obey your parents, to all the way to parents, honor and do not get your children in a strife or my translation is not as good in my mind. So I conclude with Philippians 3:7-11. I think we can read that at home, all of us. I think it's a wonderful scripture because the time is up. We will conclude here. I'm going to leave it on the screen for a minute or two. And may we strive this year to be more like Christ-like and to apply faith and knowledge towards the glory of God and towards praising our Heavenly Father. And we all are so blessed to have so many wonderful brothers and sisters and studies that really help us in this narrow way to be more and more like Jesus. We thank the Lord and we ask his forgiveness for anything said amiss.